Well, last week I told you, or maybe the week before, I don't remember, that I've snuck up on you by preaching through the seven deadly sins. But you didn't know it because I mixed them all up and I kind of hid them a little bit, so you didn't know I was doing that. Now, there are only five Sundays in Lent, so gluttony and lust have to wait till another time. And we will finish this series of the five of the seven deadly sins, but we have seen pride and envy and wrath and greed. Now today, sloth. And so that is the end of our Lenten journey, and next Sunday is Palm Sunday, then Holy Week and Easter, and we look forward to these great days. I'll be reading from the Psalms, and then we'll have a reading from the 12th chapter of Romans. And the psalmist says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then from the New Testament.
This reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Did you say, be aglow with the Spirit? Is that what you said? Is that what you said?
That is what I said.
That's wrong. We're Presbyterians. We don't do that here, do we? glow with the Spirit?
Some of us do.
Try it again. Please glow as you read.
You are glowing, I see it.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly and never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. All of it. Amen. And so these words, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, be aglow with the Spirit. Let's pray. Oh God, may your word go forth this day into hearts and lives, that we may be made new, refashioned again, to be servants of one another, disciples of Jesus Christ, in whose presence we grow. Amen. When I was a little child, My father was drafted into the Army and went off to the South Pacific to fight the World War II. And my mother walked down the street and went to work in the local telephone office.
Number, please.
Anybody remember that? I probably shouldn't tell you this, but when the telephone operators got bored, they listened in to your conversations. They knew things all over town. And so with my mother at work and my father off in the Army, I was in the care of my grandmother every day in her house, which is a larger house in front of our smaller house on the same lot. She loved to read. I loved her stories. And on cold days, when it was too cold to go outside, she would take me into her little nook off the kitchen and she would read me stories. I remember many, many of the stories. And one of the ones I remember most, probably because the pictures in the book, was Aesop's fable, The Ant and the Grasshopper. Maybe you know that story. Maybe you read that story or had that story read to you or read it to your children. There's an ant, and all summer long, the ant works, gathering food to store into the nest for the coming winter. And there's a grasshopper. The grasshopper has a fiddle. And the grasshopper fiddles his way and sings his way all through the summer, not a care in the world. And then winter comes. And the picture of the grasshopper is the one that I remember so well. In thin clad, ragged clothes against the snow and the wind, and he's so hungry, and I felt so sorry for that grasshopper. And he asks the ant for food, but none comes. He doesn't get any food. The lesson, my grandmother, who was born in the 19th century, who grew up without automobiles and electricity and running water and telephones and television and radio, who knew the value of hard work, wanted me also to know, this is what will happen, Tommy, if you don't do the right thing. Now, if you think that this is a story, a fable, about sloth, you're wrong. It's a fable about laziness, which is not the same thing as sloth. They are different in Scripture. Now, the Bible doesn't say that we should be lazy. There's a couple proverbs and other places where laziness is mentioned as something to avoid. But laziness is not a major theme of the Bible. Sloth is a major theme. So what is it? What is sloth? The Greek word is acedia, and there is no perfect equivalent in the English language for acedia. And so there are a number of words that we could play with to try to capture something of what it means to be a slothful person. We use the words like callousness, indifference, apathy to the things of the Spirit. We use such words as disgust, withdrawal, coldness with respect to the things of the Spirit. And so all of these words are an attempt to try to surround this word sloth and to understand that it is a hatred, a withdrawal, an indifference to the Spirit's work, to God's work, to the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is now in this very moment and in every moment of your life and mine. The Holy Spirit is not idle. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work, nurturing us, speaking to us, encouraging us, comforting us, blessing us, challenging us. And sloth is our indifference. Probably the most slothful person of all is the workaholic. The workaholic is always busy. The schedule is always full. It is always on the move. The workaholic never stops, works all the time. And in working all of the time, the workaholic does not pay attention to the more important things of her life, his life. Relationships of love, relationships with children, relationships with God's purpose. All of the things that make life worth living is lost. All of those things are lost because the workaholic has filled his life, his time, his heart, his energy. It's a running away. Workaholism is a running away from what is most important: relationships of love and grace and caring. A number of years ago, many years ago now, there was a book that was published. It was back in the 1970s, and it became a bestseller. Everybody was reading it. It was a little novella, and it perfectly fit the tenor, the tone, the moment. And so 40 million people, that's good. You write a book, then 40 million copies are sold. That's really good. The name of the book was called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It was about a bird who is tired of just living. He wants more than just eating and sleeping and all of that. And he breaks away from the flock and he begins to fly through the air. And he experiences the freedom to fly higher, to fly further, to fly faster than any bird has ever flown. It was a celebration of freedom. And that's what Americans wanted to hear. Be free. Don't be shackled by family, by work, by religion, by doctrines. Don't let that hold you back. The book says freedom is everything. And so the bird flies into the air in perfect freedom. And we ask the question, to what end? And the answer is, well, freedom. That's the end. To be free. Freedom is everything. Two books were written after that book was published, one recently and one 25 years ago, that have made an attempt to help us to see what has happened to us now. Where are we as a result of this freedom that we have want to grasp? But why, everybody wants to be free. The churches are empty. 3,500 people yesterday left the church. Good church members left. 3,500 yesterday. 3,500 people today will leave the church. Good church members who attend and give, they're going to leave today. And tomorrow, 3,500 people will leave the church. Again, tomorrow. And this has been going on for the last 25 years. So now that we look and we see where we are, 60 million of us are no longer here. We want to be free. So the two books that have been published in recent days, well, 25 years ago, a Harvard professor by the name of Robert Putnam published his book, Bowling Alone. It's never left as a bestseller. It's an attempt to describe socially what has happened to us as a nation. That we have found our freedom and that we have gone off on our own. Bowling Alone describes what he's talking about. The social contracts, the relationships that have held us together, have sustained us, that have given us hope and help and grace and love all through these years, have now broken apart. Bowling Alone. And loneliness is now one of the major epidemics of our lives. And without other people, the human body gets sick. Without people in our lives to surround us and love us and care for us, we become unwell. The other book, published just last year by a professor at New York University, Jonathan Haidt, is entitled The Anxious Generation. It's a description and an exploration of what has happened to our children and what is happening to the young people of our nation. Our children are the unhappiest generation of Americans who've ever been born. And the addictions and the antisocial activities, and in some cases, the violence that we see erupting out of the lives of young people, it's because they've been set free, because they are not being held. Not being held and blessed and loved and watched over and cared for. So the psalmist says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days. In other words, Lord, we need to be taught, because we can't make this life work on our own. We need to be guided. We need to be blessed. We need to be followed. We need to be remembered. We need to be loved. We need to be surrounded by people who bring us into life. We can't make this up on our own. We need all of the teaching. We need God to show us, teach us what we need to know, who we need to be. And so we people of God, we keep coming back. This thing is practice. We keep practicing. You never learn to play the piano without practice. You never learn to be a heart surgeon without practice. You never learn to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, without practice. So we keep coming back. We keep practicing this thing. We keep coming back to the same book. We keep coming back to the same story without which our lives make no sense to us at all. We keep coming back to sing the same hymns. We keep coming back to say the same prayers together. We keep coming back, returning, learning again. Nothing beautiful and lasting ever happens overnight or in a week. What we keep coming back to is something that takes a lifetime. We keep coming back. We keep coming back. We keep learning and practicing. And every once in a while, not all the time, but every once in a while, we find ourselves aglow with the Spirit. Glow, my friends, whenever you can. Glow. You're being held by a love that will never let you go. You are being forgiven in forgiveness that's complete. You're being watched over. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. The greatest things that you need will be given by the gifts of the Spirit to you. Keep learning that. Keep relearning that. Keep coming back. And when you can, glow because of it. I promise you, there is no sloth in that. Ever. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, open us up and fill our hungry hearts with the fullness of your grace and love, that we might be filled with your Spirit and glow in grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.